You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
Today looks a little different. We are ending our I'm Not Fine collection with our fifth week of kind of a Q&A. Over the last four weeks, we've asked you guys to submit questions so that we could answer them. And it's going to be kind of more like a monologue discussion based upon what you guys have asked, really. And we had some questions here, and then I was able to pull some from our other campus that I just thought were so good that I just didn't want you to do without them. And so we're going to get to talk about those today. So at this time, as you see, there's three seats up here. I get the honor and privilege to invite up my beautiful, very beautiful bride, Kelsey, and you give it up for my bride, of course, and then for my beautiful brother-in-law as well. So he gave me a hard time because in the huddle this morning he said, "You called her beautiful, but you didn't say I was beautiful." So now I have to say that he's beautiful. But we get the opportunity to come and share with y'all today. I'll let them kind of share about their own experience. But I have my own experience that many of you have heard several times. And we'll start with my wife, kind of to show you where we're coming from and why that I chose them to be on the stage. Yet she is my wife and I love her and she makes me better in every single day. But as well, she has her own experiences where she gets to come from and Caden as well with their educations and other things. So I'll let you take it away, baby.
Since I was a little kid, I've kind of battled a lot of different things. So I was diagnosed with OCD growing up in about fourth grade, I believe, and just working through all of those things and then seeing the Lord and his faithfulness when I came to know him through college and just the way he's been able to use that and for me to come through that. But I'll be honest, I didn't plan on sharing this today, but I've been walking through a season for the last 5 years battling body image and an eating disorder. So I didn't expect to share that up here, but for the last 6 months I've watched the Lord really just work on my heart and just uproot a lot of lies that I've believed for so long. So I can definitely say I don't know everything. I've not even come out the other side all the way yet, but I do know that there's victory in it, and that there's freedom in it. And just yesterday at Freedom Conference, the Lord shared with me, just laid it on my heart, like He is El Roy. He is the God who sees us. And
amen.
I know that and I believe that. And so hopefully we can give you something up here, but. I'm still working through a lot of different things.
Thank you, baby. Caden, beautiful brother-in-law.
I'm glad you're acknowledging that. I will say, they did not let me know that we were wearing blue today, so that is why I'm not matching. But there is forgiveness for both of you, so.
Appreciate it.
Extend that. So, kind of similarly to Kels, I struggled a lot with anxiety, depression, even my first year of college, I dealt with suicide. So just getting to share that with others has been a lot of freedom for me. I've shared it with me and Ross, actually. I got to share with him for the first time on a podcast. What's your podcast?
Feed the Sheep.
Feed the Sheep.
Not my plug. He plugged it.
Feed the Sheep. All right. So for mine, I have experienced a lot more freedom. I know Kel's talked about she's still... we're still praying a lot over her and just praying for that. Mine, I have found freedom. I still struggle a lot with depression at times, not to the extent that I did. But I also graduated just recently with my degree in psychology and looking at furthering that a little bit more. So I'm coming at it a little bit more with the educational background of it. And so I'm excited to talk with you guys today a little bit more about that.
Amen. Awesome. Y'all excited? Y'all ready to get into this? A couple weeks back, I wasn't here. I was speaking at Noblesville when we were going over stress. Pastor Nathan is with you. But a part of my message over there, I talked about how there's purpose in our pain. And there's a lot of purpose and how God can use our pain, and that purpose in our pain is evidence. And I kind of want to really just talk a little bit as we start about how God has redeemed our pain, and then give hope to people who are walking through seasons of pain or have already come out of it but still don't see the purpose in it, and kind of share about some ways that the Lord has redeemed that. So,
yeah, in my life, for those of you that don't know, I coach basketball too, and I've realized that one of the greatest sources of pain for me in a lot of ways was the game. So I found my identity in it for the longest time, and when I came to know the Lord, I felt like I was being stripped of that. I gave up a Division I scholarship and ended up at a Christian school where I came to know the Lord. And so for me, I feel like the Lord has really redeemed a lot of my image, my value, not finding it in things of this world, through the game. And now I'm seeing myself, I get to coach high school girls, which is really fun, but every day they write that their identity is not found in basketball, but found in who they are. And so they literally have to write that sentence out every day after basketball practice. And so for me, it's just important to recognize like where my identity is, and making sure I help others know where their identity lies. And so the Lord has really redeemed that situation. And just allowed me to speak truth into lives of kids. I got about 30 girls in my program right now, so it's been a fun journey walking with them there.
Yeah, kind of similar. I actually coach with Kels, and so I felt like a lot of my identity.
He loves it, by the way.
I want it.
Also, there's three of them. Katie's over here. We won't leave you out. She also coaches with them.
Yes.
So. You go ahead, sorry. I just had to shout her out.
So, kind of similar, basketball was easy for me to find my identity in as well. And so, it's been fun for all three of us to be able to pour in the lives of the girls that we coach and trying to help them not find their identity in the game. I've always heard it. I don't remember who I first heard this from, but God never wastes our pain, only we do that. And so I think through that, through coaching and opportunities of just being and working with youth and helping mold them now so that we can best prepare them and just give them the tools and the abilities to be able to fight it when it might come for them. So it's fun getting to serve the girls with Kels and just making that our, I would say, I feel like that's our what we strive to do with them, and so make it more about basketball, more than basketball. So.
Yeah, and I think of the verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff that come for me. All like I've talked about that, I use that verse throughout this series, but there's a lot of truth in that because we do walk in valleys in our life. We're not always on the mountaintop, but we have to recognize that. But the truth is, and I heard this recently, that I think it was Pastor Mike over at our Eagle Creek campus who said it first. And he said the reason that our mountaintop, reason why the mountaintop looks so wonderful and beautiful is because of the view of the valley. Like we have to endure the valley to be able to experience the joy and the greatness of the mountaintops as well. But we're not always gonna live on the mountaintop. There's not enough oxygen up there, okay? Like we have to be able to come down and be okay in those seasons when we are walking in the valley. And it's not always terrible. It's not always like awful and dreadful. There are those seasons and those moments of a life that I'm sure many of us have walked through at a time or another, but we walk through the valley, and when we do, when we get to the mountaintop, that's why it's so beautiful and that's why it's so great. And I just want to share about kind of like an aha moment for me in this season of anxiety and the spirit of fear. And I know, like, hey, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. But over and over and over again, we see in the Bible, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And it's not like a, hey, you know, you don't have to fear. It's a do not fear. And I was reading this book called Awe of God by John Bevere, and got to lead a small group, a virtual life group, basically. We met every single day for 6 weeks. And in that book, one of the days, it's like a devotional broken up. And one of the days, this aha moment for me was this book. And it basically said, hey, when you decide to live in fear, it is an act of disobedience. And I was like, I kind of read that. I was like, oh, because it's not a suggestion, hey, don't fear. It's a basically a commandment, do not fear. Like, you are not given the spirit of fear. So why are you living in that mindset? So for me to fully overcome, for me, I was like, oh, like, this is disobedience, and I want to be fully obedient and fully, like, holy in the Lord. So that was a great moment for me, so.
Yeah, kind of going off that there, Ross, of just not living in fear. For so long, when I first struggled, I felt like I lived in that fear, and it prevented the Lord to move in me through the act of sharing. And through the act of sharing is where I found the most freedom. I found freedom in just the opportunities of conversations with people where I got to just be in awe of God, and not that he was not just molding and fixing my brokenness, but he was living in other people and fixing their brokenness as well. And it really opened my eyes to more of him and more of what he can do, not just in me, but in everyone's brokenness. And so I thought that you're talking about living in the fear. I really isolated myself early on in my struggles. And so I found freedom in that.
Yeah. And there's in all this series that we've been able to talk about with and share with you all, there is an aspect, it's there's spiritual warfare. There's warfare based off of our own actions and our own decisions, and there's the consequences of that, but there is spiritual warfare that goes on in our lives, and we have to recognize that. And we can't ignore the fact that the enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know that because the word says that. We know he prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. That's why we need to be in community. But all of this is kind of want to dive into how we can recognize and really recognize and discern what is spiritual warfare and how we can, you know, overcome that. So,
yeah, this morning, so the Lord really reveals things through me, like through imagery, and I shared this with Ross this morning, but as a coach, I prepare my girls. I watch film. I make my coaches watch film. We try to figure out what is the other team, like, what is the opponent going to do to us? Like, how can we exploit their weaknesses? All of those things. What are they really good at? And as I was thinking about that in spiritual warfare, we have the greatest scouting report of all time with the Word.
Amen.
The Word of God, I mean, we have in detail what Satan is trying to do, right? Like, we're told what he's trying to do, where he's coming at us from. We see the Lord, how he combats Satan when he's tempted, and that's with the Word of God, and that's getting into it and getting into his presence. And I think we have to study that. Like, we have to know how he's going to come at us. And then how can we fight that with the truth of the Word? And it's getting into that and recognizing and understanding that we have the blueprint, like, we have the game plan. We just have to put it into action. We have to step into it. That's what I think of as far as preparing ourselves for battle. Like, we're told that the word of the Lord is our sword, right? Like, it's the way we fend off the enemy. And so knowing it in our hearts and then speaking it out, I would say that's one thing that I'm growing in, and Ross has been great in that for me. He immediately, when I take my worries and my anxiousness to him, he gives me scripture. And I think having people like that point you back to the truth of the word, it's definitely important.
Yeah, I learned that from my mom, to be honest, because y'all know I had my own battles with anxiety, but every time I would share, like, that was the same thing. So community is very, very important, and also so is prayer. Like, we need to, when we recognize that there is a presence, an evil spirit around or in a situation, we need to go to prayer immediately. It takes me to last weekend. Kelsey and I were in Florida for about 36 hours for a wedding, short trip. And we got to our Airbnb, because I was like, oh, it's cheaper than the hotel where the wedding party's at. Like, let's go there. Thought it was a great idea. Well, we show up. We get there and it's small, like, it's nice, quaint, but there was this, we were sitting there and it was a whole disaster of getting to Florida as it was. So many layovers and just terrible, but
we felt like we were there for like 3 hours.
Yeah. So we get there late anyways, and we had an hour to spare before we had to go back to the airport to pick up our luggage. And so we're watching TV, and right before we leave, there's this book sitting on the table, and Kelsey opens it. And all through it, it's like the history of like the Central Florida area, but, and then all through it is just all this like psychic tarot cards, palm reading, you know, drag shows, transgender, like all this stuff that is so demonic. And when we opened it, we both felt it in the moment. We didn't say it to each other in the moment. We felt like just this darkness kind of fell in that space and on us. And the closer that we are, what I believe is the closer we are to the Lord, the closer we are in His presence, that we're able to recognize and see those things and call them out for what they truly are. Instead of saying, oh, I'm just anxious, I don't know why, we sat in the car, I said, I'm feeling pretty anxious and I'm not really sure what it is, but we kind of looked at you like, when you opened that book, we just felt this darkness come over us, come over that home. And so we just went right into prayer. And, you know, I texted my mom and Phil, and I told them both kind of what was going on. And then they were praying and, you know, pulling people into that and recognizing, hey, you're not doing it alone. But like the first thing we basically did was go to prayer and looking at when we feel anxious, when we feel depressed, when we feel lonely, when we feel stressed, what is it that's actually going on, instead of looking at the surface and saying, oh, it's just because of this. Like, no, there are demonic spirits at work for our very souls, and we have to recognize that. So that's where kind of I'm at.
Yeah. I kind of thought about this, like thinking of this kind of type of question, kind of from both your guys' perspectives. Kelsey and I talked this morning very similarly. My thought in my mind went exactly to the same thing of like, when we prepare for games, that is, I mean, we refer to it as, we tell our girls, like, we're going to battle with you. And so how can we best prepare them? And it's through the prep work. Like, it's through like exactly what Kels was saying. And then even going off kind of what you were saying, Russ, my mind went to, I've heard there is a women's basketball coach who, I like the saying, sticks in a bundle are unbreakable. It's not scriptural, but I do like the idea of when we are together in community, we become a lot harder to be broken. And so when we have people that we can lean on, we have our community, we have those people that we can go to in times of anxiousness, when we feel the spiritual warfare, and all that. And I think also going off of what you were saying, Ross, too, of like, we can feel it. We might not always know it, like what's going on. But I think it's important to know, and in your past experiences, maybe when you have felt anxious, like what were warning signs that maybe you could have caught on to that then you went to your community. So I think just being attentive to like the ways that you feel and the things that like how things make you feel. Mm-hmm. I know things that cause me to maybe be a little bit more anxious than others. And so in those times, like then I can go to my community and I can ask them for prayer. I've leaned on Ross, I feel like, a lot in these past couple of months, and just texting him for prayer. And it's been really appreciative, and it helps me in those times. So,
yeah, and I want to ask a question kind of to the people, just by show of hands. There's no shame. Don't let the enemy come in and tell you, don't raise your hand if it's true, okay? So How many can say in here at a time or another, or maybe even in this season right now, that you're kind of mentally attacked by the enemy of this thought that, like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't hang on. I'm more than tired. I'm exhausted, and I just don't want to do it anymore. Okay, see this? There are many hands around. Like, we're not alone in this, and we have to recognize that. And then it begs the question that some people kind of ask us, why would God allow his child, allow his children, allow his people to endure overwhelming circumstances until that child can't bear it anymore? And that question came in, and I was like, we have to share this, because so many people deal with those same thoughts, and that question may come up. And maybe it's for the believer that asks the question, but also there's the unbeliever that asks the question. And I want to help equip you so that when the question comes, because there are many people who don't know Christ, they say, why God, if he's so good, would allow this to happen, allow these overwhelming circumstances to take place? And I kind of think of the first is the story of Jeremiah. Look at, like, the godly community and how children, they're not ready to determine what is good for themselves. So a father's love sometimes sounds like the word no. And that phrase I heard, and I was like, you know, that's so real, because we are children. If you are in Christ, you are a child of God. Therefore, you are a child. You need childlike faith. And it is the parent's responsibility. Everybody who's a parent or a grandparent in here, you know it's your responsibility to tell the kid no when it's something that will harm them. It's to hold them back from something that will hurt them. And that's your responsibility. And sometimes that's what God does for us. He says no. He'll put blockades up. He'll put obstacles up so that he can protect us. But we have free will. So we can run right through them if we so choose to continue to get to the side that is not the tree of life and this tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he's doing everything he can. So when that question comes for me, I think, well, he's my father. He's my perfect heavenly father. And if he's not in this, then I don't want to be in it. And recognizing those circumstances. So that's kind of how I felt about that whole situation, or that question.
I thought of John 33, where we are told that we will have trouble in this world, but we can have peace because Christ has overcome it. And so that is where my mind went. And in that, I wanted to look at this question a little bit differently, of not like why, but like how, knowing that there's like, that there's times that are going to be hard. How can we best come alongside I don't have children, but how, like, a relative, like, how can I best come alongside if they are struggling in those times? And I think when I look at it as, like, there's a real possibility that can happen, then I can change my perspective to be able to rely on that strength that Christ has overcome the world. And just be equipped, empowered in heart posture of that, can really just change your perspective and free you up with peace to best love them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, again, I kind of go back to this imagery. Like, a lot of times I've felt this way in the last 6 months as I've been battling ever since I started going through my own journey here. But the Lord has really just reminded me, Ross says this a lot, like, I'm not fighting for victory, but from it. And so it can look like this mountain is in front of you, but the Lord wants you to get on his back and he wants to carry you through it. He's already overcome it. We don't have to fight those battles. We don't have to struggle our way up or out. He just says, jump on my back. Like, I'll carry you through this. And when we do that, and when we surrender in that and allow him to walk us through those things, we're not fighting for a victory. Like, we already have that. So yes, life is hard. Yes, things come at us. Jesus experienced the same type of trials that we're going through, and it was really hard. But he knew the outcome. So it allowed him to walk in peace. And so just remember that you've already won. You don't have to strive to win anymore.
Yeah, and That's so good. I think of like many people, the question came about like how do you respond when in moments of anxiety? And I think you replace anxiety with just about anything and this still works. For me, mine was anxiety. For others, it may be depression, maybe loneliness, maybe stress, it may be eating disorder, it may be whatever, like spirit of suicide, whatever it may be, I think this still applies. But when I struggle with anxiety, I call what I call breath prayers. And it's simple, it's inhale, exhale, but when I inhale, I say, Jesus can, and when I exhale, I say, I cannot. Jesus can, I cannot. And that's the most simple one, but I have a whole list in my notes that, my notes is filled with a bunch of things that I always resort to, but another example of breath prayers, as we inhale, the Lord is my shepherd, exhale, I have all that I need. Inhale, I give my burden to you, exhale, you will take care of me. Inhale, you made me and sustained me. Exhale, you carry me all of my days. Inhale, guard my heart and mind. Exhale, with your indescribable peace. And the last one I have in here is, inhale, you still the storms to a whisper. Exhale, you hush the waves of the sea. And these are all like, these are found in scripture. They're biblical breath prayers. Like, it's not some like, you know, meditation type, you know, weird stuff that's going on that I'm saying here. It's like, this is the word of God that I just turned into how to calm myself in those moments of anxiety. And I hope maybe you'll take something away from this. At the very least, Jesus can, I cannot, to calm yourself down in those moments where the overwhelming feelings of life and the attacks of the enemy may come over to try to take you out.
Yeah, and I heard a scripture this week. I think it's important to remember. So in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. So as we feel the feelings of depression, anxiety, fear, draw near to his throne. Draw near to him. And as we draw near to him, he replaces those things with his peace. That was just really laid on my heart. And then also, just remember scripture, because I don't believe this was by accident. Josephine read from Isaiah, and these verses were also laid on my heart this week. It's John 4:18-19. Jesus holds our freedom, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He was quoting Isaiah there. The Lord was. So allow scripture to be imprinted on your heart, and as you fight your battles, remember the truth of the words, or the Lord's word.
Do you have anything? You want me to continue?
You can continue.
Okay. I think some things that came up, and I kind of want to, you said it, and I want to revisit it, is how we can help a spouse or a family member or a loved one who is walking through seasons of this. Because if you've never experienced it, or you've just completely ignored it and said, I'm just going to battle through and ignore everything that's going on, either way, the way you respond to a loved one, a family member, a friend, a spouse, will determine whether you're creating a brave space. So she's reading this book, and it was talking about not creating a safe space, but a brave space where you're inviting them in. So we want to create brave spaces in our homes where our loved ones, our friends, our family, our children, our spouses can come to us in these moments. And whether you're that one who is experiencing it, or you're on the other side where your spouse or a loved one or family member or friend, whatever, it fits for any relationship of how we can handle or support in that moment.
Yeah, I can go. So as I was thinking through this question, the first thing that came over me was obviously prayer. I think prayer is huge. I think we have to let God help us be able to help them. Mm-hmm. We cannot rely on our own strength. And so that was the first thing. I also think it's incredibly critical in a time of someone struggling, as someone who struggled, you want someone who is patient. I think we need to be patient people with our loved ones who are struggling, and I think you just need to be incredibly present. Be willing to be right there with them. I think there is a desire to relate with people, and so I was talking to Kels again this morning as we were just kind of briefly going over it, and I think as she's walked with me, I've been able to walk with her a little bit, and I think it's really important to not try to say you understand if you don't truly understand. That's a little one, but I think it can go a long ways, because if you don't understand, you don't have to tell them that. And so I think through prayer, patience, and just presence, it can go a long way. And then lastly, I think if you just continue to speak the truth, I know personally in my moments of struggling, I had brave people, as Kels is about to talk about, who were still willing to speak the truth and just allow me to feel God's nearness in a time that I felt he was so far away from me. And I was very appreciative now on the other side that I had those bold and brave people in my life who were willing to sit and still speak truth of the word over me in my times of struggles.
Yeah, the whole idea of a brave space is one that you allow the person to be wholly themselves, like who they are, but in a space that provides areas for them to grow. So safe spaces kind of keep you there. A brave space kind of pushes you towards growth. And as I was reading that, the book talked a lot about Galatians 6:2, so carrying each other's burdens, like being willing to help carry the burdens of other people in your life. And I just think it's important to remember we are emotional beings, and our emotions actually connect us to one another. And that's a good thing. Allow for people to be themselves, but then be able to challenge them. If you've built that relationship enough that they feel comfortable coming to you, then the Lord's going to use you and allow him to speak truth back into their life. Because a lot of times they need to hear that. I know when I'm struggling and when I've gotten to the point where I text Ross right away, like, hey, I'm going through this. This is running through my head. Literally right away, he sends me back scriptures reminding me who I am and what the Lord says about me. So find people that are willing to challenge you in that and not let you stay in that space. Allow you to be who you are, but they don't allow you to sit in it for too long. Because I think that's when we just forget who we are and whose we are.
Yeah, as Kels is, makes me seem like I'm a great, perfect husband, but I'm not by any means. Early on in this season, as we've been walking through, the reason that's easier for me to go straight to scripture is because naturally, many men can probably relate, you want to try to fix it right away when they come to you, but here's the thing, they just want you to listen a lot of the time, and the truth is that, yes, there is truth in the word, but for me, I had my own battle of what's my role in this? What does it look like? And I realized that my job wasn't to change her. My job was to love her. That's it. And it's to pray over her. It's to pray with her, to speak truth. So for anybody in here, as you're dealing with a spouse or a child or whatever, your job for children, it's to give direction. Yes, obviously it's a little different, but specifically for the spouse, hey, your job isn't to change them. It's to love them and let the Lord work on their heart, because it's the Spirit of the Lord that is the one that renews our hearts, that changes our hearts and how we view things and the power that we have. And I want to talk really, last bit, is I really want to talk about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit when coming into these battles, when walking through life in general, but especially, like, people ask all the time, how do I overcome this? And I think I could simply say, hey, being filled with the Holy Spirit will give you that strength. But I want to talk about the importance of that and why before we go into worship. And it's also because in a couple weeks is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to be talking about it for 2 weeks and giving opportunities for baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it set itself up perfect for this week, because it prepares us for what's to come here, obviously at Life Church, but also like in our lives. What is that importance? How does it help us and impact us?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the Spirit is our guide, right? Like it's what helps us through all of our tough times, all of our situations. And so here's another image for you. I don't know if any of you guys watch Spider-Man Marvel movies. I did not until I married Ross.
Yeah.
And we were flying home from Florida, and I fall asleep during every movie. I'm not good at staying awake. But as we were flying home, we were watching Spider-Man. Do you know which one it was?
Far From Home.
And as we were watching it, I watched the whole movie, and then yesterday or the other day, I don't know which day it was, I just felt like the Lord was giving me this imagery. So if you've never seen the movie, at the end, he's fighting, I don't even know the guys.
Mysterio,
yes. There we go. The guy with a bunch of drones, that's all that I know. And there's all this deception that's taking place, right? Like, things keep changing. He can't figure out who he's actually fighting against. He's seeing the enemy different ways. And, like, that is what Satan does to us. Like, he throws a bunch of different things at us, like, trying to keep us, derail us, get us off track. But when we operate in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to reveal, or what his Aunt May called his spidey sense.
Peter Tingle.
I don't know any of them. All right, his Peter Tingle. He was able to see things clearly and fight the enemy exactly the way he needed to defeat him. And so the Lord will give us that if we lean into him and allow him to guide us. He will reveal where the enemy is attacking us, yeah, and where he's coming at us with different lies and all of those things. And we will be able to attack him straight on, like through all of his deception and all of his lies and... I don't know. I'm sorry that I really botched a lot of those details, but
no, it's great.
Hopefully, that's if you ever watch the movie, hopefully the next time you see it, like, it's very much a great picture of, in my mind, like, spiritual warfare and being able to tackle the enemy.
Yeah, what I love about Kels is she has such a gift. I kind of call it a gift of interpretation. She sees things ways that I never could. She sees this imagery, and the Lord speaks through it, and there's such a powerful message in every single time she shares with it. And I told her that. I said, when she shared that with me yesterday, it was in the morning before Freedom Conference, and I was getting things set up, and I just read it, and I just started smiling. I started tearing up because I'm like, this is so beautiful. I'm like, I love how the Lord uses my wife to show these things, because I would have never, I just watched Spider-Man to watch Spider-Man. And now I'm going to watch Spider-Man, and I'm going to say, man, look at the Holy Spirit at work. This is awesome. But it takes me to Peter. We see Peter in Luke, and he can't even proclaim Jesus as knowing Jesus to a little girl. And then he's filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts. And then he preaches to 3,000 who are saved, preaches to many who are 3,000 are then saved, and he preaches boldly. And what I think that picture for me is that, hey, until we're filled, yeah, we can know Jesus, we can have a relationship with Jesus, but until we're filled with the Spirit, I really don't believe we'll have the boldness and courage that we need to take on this world. Because guys, you look around us, look on the news, like, Christians are being attacked everywhere you go. Everybody talking about how, like, people hate us. And we know it's going to happen, and it's part of being a believer. But our boldness, being filled with the Spirit, will give us the endurance to run the race that the Lord has set before us. And it is so powerful. It is so beautiful, the strength that we get from this gift. He is our helper at the end of the day, and we just have to recognize that. You got anything, brother?
You have anything?
I do. When I was thinking through this, like, I was thinking through the importance of just, and I was like convicted of like, what am I doing now? Like, what training am I doing in my heart and just preparation, kind of what you were saying, like of this idea of this endurance of when things do come, like the prep work. And so I thought of Matthew 7, the parable that was funny, the firm foundation played, of just like this foundational relationship with the Holy Spirit and just building that solid foundation. So when times do come, like I do have that sturdy foundation in that community, in that relationship with the Lord. And then also, I choose a word every year, and Kelsey and Katie, my other sister, they get me a journal that has my word and my scripture on it. And this year my word was plant deep. And so I really...
It's two words.
Well, yeah, thank you. Okay, my words this year. It looks like one word on here, though.
Okay.
So Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, where it talks about like when like our confidence being in the Lord, and when seasons of drought come, like we're able to still withstand. And so when we're planted, like our tree is planted by the water. And so I was just reminded of that word too, is just like that, what am I doing now? And so I would just challenge you to think too, like, what are you doing now? Like, are you filling yourself up with the truth? And so then when those overcoming times do come, like you have that that prep work done. So
yeah, and as we close, this was laid on my heart this week. So I'm reading a book, and then also I listened to a lot of podcasts, and there was this idea centered around like having childlike faith to enter the kingdom of God, and just when we think about children as far as anxiety and fears and just other worries. Like my nephew, he's young, and when he was worried at my house, like he just ran to my sister and grabbed her leg and looked up at her, and he will cry, he will make sure he grabs her attention however he needs, just so his mom will be there for him or his parent will be there for him. And I think about us as children of the Lord, like we don't have to be put together when we go to him. We can go with our fears, our anxieties. Like, he's big enough. He can handle them.
That's good.
And as we go to him with those, just be a child there. Like, you can yell, you can cry. I cry a lot when I listen to worship music. I'll just be completely honest, especially in my car if I'm driving. But don't be worried. I'm still, like, coherent while I'm driving. But, like, I would just challenge you, like, do the same thing with the Lord. Like, he welcomes that. Like, he wants you to run to him with every part of you, all of the broken parts, because he's Redeemer, and he will redeem, and he will bring wholeness to you. And it may take time. Like, I'll be honest, there's a lot of things in my life currently that I wish didn't take as much time as they've taken, but I know his timing is perfect, and I know he will answer, and he's faithful, and we can just look back at all the faithfulness that we see in the word, and just know he will be that again.
Yeah, that's good. I want to take this time as we close to give that opportunity to have childlike faith, to recognize our need for a perfect Heavenly Father, for a Savior. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, I just ask for, if you are somebody here today that is struggling, that battles with any of these feelings, any of these emotions, even some that may not be listed, or maybe some we didn't talk about, but if you want to run like a child to our perfectly Heavenly Father, to have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today, and we're going to celebrate because it is heavenly, it is beautiful, it is glorious. On the mountaintop, yes, but we see that because of the walk in the valley. And His Word says that He walks through us in that. So if you're somebody here today who hasn't said yes to Jesus, who hasn't fully committed or given their life to him and they want that freedom today, I just ask, will you just lift your hand? Lift your hand with boldness, with courage, with joy, because he wants you to be set free. And if you want to be set free from this, then it starts with a relationship with him. Amen. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.